Good morning.
Good morning.
Boy, it's good to see everyone.
Yes.
God is good.
Yes, he is.
You know, despite going through struggles that we face daily, one thing we can take for sure, take to the bank, is that God loves us.
Amen. Amen.
We've been studying Matthew chapter 24 and 25 on our Sunday morning sermons. And what began in questions asked by the disciples led to Jesus' answering of those questions. We talked about how in AD 70, Jesus in Matthew chapter 24 was talking about how Jerusalem and the temple specifically was going to be completely leveled. He said, not one stone will be left on another. And as he went throughout the chapter 24, he answered that question. And then he also got to the point where he talked about the day when he returns, Judgment Day. From there, Jesus, at the end of chapter 24 and on into chapter 25, gave some parables. And if you notice in those parables that we've talked about the past few weeks, that each of those parables was a comparison. You had a comparison between the faithful and the unfaithful. You had the comparison between the five foolish virgins and the five wise virgins. You had the parable of the talents, where different individuals were given differing amounts of talents. And in all those examples, in all those parables, we learned that Jesus gave earthly stories that have a spiritual or a heavenly meaning. And today is no exception. As a matter of fact, out of all the lessons, out of all the messages that Jesus delivered up to this point, this is without a doubt the most powerful. The most powerful. Because Jesus makes it clear, when he returns, he is going to be able to distinguish one person from another person based upon their relationship with him. God or Jesus will know our hearts. So if you have your Bibles handy, hopefully you do, look over at Matthew chapter 25. We're going to read through the text of verses 31 through 46. 31 through 46. Matthew chapter 25, beginning verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Verse 37. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in, naked, and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or imprisoned and did not minister to you? Then he will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. It's a powerful message. Jesus knows those who have been true, those who have not been true. And not only that, But he is going to separate those who have been true, those who are saved, from those who are not true, those who are not saved. But notice what identifies the difference. In verse 34 and 35, the king will say, or doesn't say in this case, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And then in verse, the next verse, "For you have been baptized." Does anyone's text say that? It doesn't. Now, I know we believe in God's plan of salvation. I know we believe that the Bible tells us exactly what one must do to be saved. You have to believe. You have to repent. You have to confess your sins. You have to be baptized. But I also believe that according to this scripture, that there are going to be a lot of wet goats. There are going to be a lot of even Christians who were baptized who don't get what Jesus is saying. Because you see that compassion identifies us as children of God.
Yes.
It tells people. It identifies, just like the sheep, looking at the sheep here in this context, it clearly identified them because of what they did, because of their compassion. They gave food to the hungry. They gave thirsty water. They clothed people who didn't have any clothes, and they visited the sick and those who were in prison. Was it their compassion that saved them? No. It identified who they were. It showed who they were. But notice also how Jesus separates people from one another. He doesn't put the rich on his right. He doesn't put the poor on his left. He doesn't put those who are citizens on the right or foreigners on the left. He doesn't put Republicans on the right, and he doesn't put Democrats on the left. It's not who you are that determines which side you're on.
It's what you do.
It's how you lived. In other words, compassion can be shown by any Christian.
Yes.
In verse 37, the response to the first group, those on his right, says, "Then the righteous will answer him." Jesus calls the people righteous. Now, it's probably unlikely that they knew all of Scripture, that they didn't have perfect Sunday school attendance. They certainly weren't sinless. They were righteous because they strived to live their lives for Jesus. Compassion didn't make them righteous. It showed that they were righteous. Compassion isn't just for leadership either. It's not just for ministers or elders or deacons. It's every Christian's responsibility. We all have that responsibility. But notice again how these acts of compassion are performed. If someone needs food, you know, it doesn't take a whole lot to go by and grab a hamburger and give it to someone. You feed them. If someone's thirsty, here's a bottle of water. They invited strangers. They clothed. They visited the sick and in prison. Their compassion was simple, ordinary acts of love, performed by simple, ordinary people who love Jesus. That's what it's about. But when you look at the recipients, they couldn't even provide the basic needs. They didn't have food. They didn't have water. They didn't have clothing. Those are basic needs that every person needs. They didn't have a friend. They didn't know anyone. They were strangers. They couldn't take care of themselves, maybe because of their health. They were sick. And those who we would now call convicts, they were thieves. They were murderers. They were liars. It tells us that compassion should be done for anyone. It doesn't matter who you are. Compassion should be extended. Now, if we want to be the church that reaches out like never before, I'm here to tell you that things are going to get messy. What do I mean by that? As the church begins to grow, and as we begin to, we're going to have people who never been to church before. They don't know what church is. They've not had years and years of being in church. It may cause some people to be uncomfortable, or it may even offend us at times, hearing different things said. But that mess is worth it, considering what Jesus did on Calvary. Jesus going to cross is worth any uncomfortable. It's worth any effort that we could put forward. In John chapter 3, verse 16, Jesus said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. The word whoever, what's that mean? Everybody, anyone. Not just people like you and me. Not just like the people that fit into a certain mold. Well, they don't fit our demographic. No. Not just people who have something to offer. Anyone. Notice what the king says to those on the left in verse 41. He says, depart from me, you cursed. Those who have not demonstrated their righteousness by acts of compassion. They lack compassion. And that says a lot about your relationship with God. When we lack our compassion, what does it say about us? In fact, lack of compassion identifies us of the opposite. That we are children of who? Satan. Now, the Bible tells us in a few different places that Satan is the father of lies. You can't get an honest thing out of him, right? He's going to lie to us. And the greatest lie that we can tell is to say, hey, I'm a Christian. And then we turn around, we go the opposite way, and we don't live our lives in that way. It doesn't line up. This text cannot be any clearer. If we're not reaching out to people who need help, we have missed what Jesus is about. If we don't have compassion for those that need it, what are we doing? Even hell was created for the devil and his angels. That's what the Bible tells us. It was prepared for the devil and his angels, but guess what? There are going to be some people that go because they're not living out their lives. They're not living their faith in Christ in the way that's pleasing. There are going to be a lot of people who are baptized, who are members of the church and have been for years, who miss out. Now you might say, well, that's kind of judgy, isn't it? No, I don't think so. Because Jesus in the end is going to what? He's going to judge. What we can do is say, this is what the Bible says. This is what God's word says. Now that might make someone mad. You might say, well, you're being too extreme. You could say that I'm going to do what I want to do in my life. It's not your business. But Jesus makes it clear. He says, there's no excuse. There's no excuse for us to lack compassion. Look at 44 and 45. He will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? I think you're going to hear a lot of people say, but Lord, I didn't know. Lord, when did we see you and not help? If we had thought those dirty, needy, strange, corrupt people were you, Jesus, we'd have helped them right away. Is that an excuse? It's a real bad excuse. It's a poor excuse. If you're not involved in acts of compassion, tell me, what excuse could we give when Jesus says, go over here to the left? Jesus doesn't ask us to do anything that he won't help us. God's not going to ask us to do anything that he's not going to give us the power to do. But yet we still have struggles. We say, well, you know, I don't know enough scripture to help someone, to teach them about God. Or I've been sick for so long and I just can't do it. Or I've even heard this. I haven't had any opportunity to do it. But God calls us all. He calls every Christian to reach out to the world with physical, spiritual needs. You know, we're planning this hot dog clothing giveaway. That's kind of an outreach. That's a compassionate thing. We're not charging anything. We're just saying, here, if you need it, come take it. It's a way for the congregation to be involved and be hands and heads in the doing outreach, showing compassion. Now, there are ways that we can also show compassion, and we should. It doesn't take a lot of effort. It just takes us to recognize it. Because that's really the difference between these two groups. One group recognized the need. The other group did not. Jesus gave another parable. This parable was about a guy who was robbed, beaten, left half dead on the side of the road. And three individuals came by. One was a priest. A man who you would say, man, this guy's religious, surely he's going to help him. What'd he do? When you read the text, it says he saw, and then he passed by on the other side. Yeah. Likewise, Jesus goes on and says a Levite came upon the man, and he saw that he was on the side of the road, he saw that he needed help, and again, he passed by on the other side. And then a Samaritan came. Now, if you know anything about Samaritans at this point in time were, you stayed away from them. They were dirty, they were vile, according to the Jewish mindset. As a matter of fact, if you were a Jew in first century, you would not go through the land of Samaria. You would go all around it. You didn't have anything to do with it. But this man sees the need, helps him, takes him out, gets his wounds all bandaged up, pays for a room for him to stay in, and then tells the owner of the inn, says, hey, I'll come back through, and if it's any more, I'll give you that. This is not anything that God has not told us that he wants. He wants that compassion. So what does all this have to do with the big picture? Again, putting it within the realms of the parables in Matthew chapter at the end of 24 and in the 25. We talked about preparation. Jesus warns us to be ready. You don't know when he's going to come back. He could come back at any time. Be ready. The virgins, five of them, they weren't ready. And the end result was when the bridegroom came, went into the wedding feast, and the door was shut. They weren't allowed in to the wedding feast because they were late. And then the parable of the talents, where each and every individual that was mentioned there were given according to their abilities by the master. Two of them went out immediately, flipped the money, and doubled it. But one, based upon his own observation of his master, said, I thought you to be a hard and tough individual, so I took your money and I dug a hole and I hid it in it. Here, have what is yours. He wasn't prepared either, was he? But he wasn't prepared from day one. Faithful, unfaithful servants. Each of these pointing to this last point. For us to see what Jesus is really talking about. When it comes down to it, we have to be like him. Was Jesus compassionate?
Yes.
You better believe it. Was he loving?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He sacrificed his own life for us. Now look at verse 46 and we'll close. He says, "And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." Whether you know it or not, this is the end result for anyone and everyone who has ever lived. You're either going to go to everlasting punishment or eternal life. Both have no limits of time. Did you notice that? No limits of time. Everlasting. It will not end, or eternal. This is the reward. At the end, in the judgment, when Jesus comes and the resurrection, which we also learned about, takes place, and everyone is caught up to be with him, and even the dead who were not righteous, who were not obedient to the Lord, resurrected too. Each person will be judged based upon what we do, how we live our lives. And so it's the lesson is very, very simple. If we're not reaching out for Jesus, if we're not living each day step for step for him, then we might as well step forward and renounce him today, because that's exactly what our actions are saying. We might as well. Maybe someone here this morning needs to say, you know what? I need to be more committed. I need to be more involved with the Lord's work. Or maybe you're here this morning. You've not put him on in baptism. You've not been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. We can do that. Or maybe you just need to learn about how you can be more pleasing to God. Whatever the need is, now's the time to come while we stand and sing the song of invitation. Hey,